Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we have Allie Hansen. Hi, Allie.
Boo.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. Like I mentioned when we got on here, Timothy and I are new fans of you, but fans nonetheless. So very excited to chat today. Before we get into it, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners and giving us a background on how you got into photography?
Yeah, I am a full-time film photographer in Richmond, Virginia. I moved to Virginia last year from Alabama.
Oh, cool.
I'm sort of a pandemic photographer in the sense of I just started shooting when I lost my job during the first part of the actual lockdown, you know, when everyone was actually like couldn't go anywhere in America. Yeah. And I started taking those porch portraits that everyone was into.
Yeah.
When everyone
I
just sort of was a snowball effect from there. Like it was all on accident.
Yeah.
And I got really into, like, I spent the whole summer falling into a YouTube rabbit hole of learning as much as I could about how to actually use the camera. And it was a digital camera. I had not shot film or anything. And the more I would post portraits, people started offering to pay me. And it just sort of accidentally turned into a real business.
Wow.
And I started shooting film on accident as well, because I always swore that I would never shoot film. I knew that I loved the look of film, and I knew that when people hired me, they'd be like, oh, that's not film. And of course, now when I look back at my old photos, I'm like, that is so clearly digital.
Yeah.
I was definitely, you know, editing it to try to look like film or whatever. And I moved here last summer, and a month into moving here, passed the Polaroid aisle at Target. And I was like, I've never had one of those. That could be fun. And I bought it to take a photo of my photos of my animals. And it sent me down the most obsessive rabbit hole I've ever gone down. And I never looked back.
Wow. Man.
I love that it was Polaroid. That's so
and
good.
It was one of the, like, no fucking, or can I say that?
You're good.
No, just, I mean, personally, I'm not a huge fan of it now that I've like shot all the others. It's like, one of the ones they sell at Target, the big one step or something like that. But of course, now that's not the one I reach for. But it was like life changing at the time.
Wow. What was your job before?
Huh. A million different jobs. Yeah. I've worked every possible career path you could possibly think of. I have quit everything I have ever started, every hobby, every job. I am just notorious for not sticking with anything. But the job that I lost when the pandemic hit, I was working as a barista, which was definitely the most enjoyable job I've had thus far. And I think that if for some reason photography stopped working out, I would go work at a coffee shop again, because it's definitely, for me, the least soul-sucking out of all the other things I've done.
Right.
So, yeah.
I mentioned this before. This is, like, my favorite part of the show, where we hear everybody's, like, aha moments of, like, this is when it happened, you know? And it's crazy thing about yours, because it wasn't supposed to happen, you know?
Yeah. And it happened when, now I know, you know, all my friends in the industry, it happened when for them everything was falling apart.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, like the thought of being a wedding photographer in 2020, like I don't think I could have gone through all the things that my friends had to go through that year. But I was just shooting portraits. So
yeah, there's a one specific job that went away that if I was able to still have that, it would have been very helpful, because it was like a consistent gig that would have just been like fun and paid well, you know, like, okay, great. Now I could like maybe sustain, really sustain, you know? And then it was like the week, I had two things the week of the pandemic that were like, well, we'll reconvene. And then
never happened.
Disappeared. One came back around. So that's good. But
well, that's good. I'm glad. But yeah, so stressful for everybody involved back then.
Yeah, and it's I was thinking about that the other day. I forget who I was talking to. One of the teachers at my job, we were just talking about how sometimes you forget the pandemic even happened, at least for me. Like, sometimes I'm just back in it, you know, I'm living
it. It's a fever dream.
Yeah,
fever dream, for real.
I'll find in the drawer, like, a box of masks or something, and I'm like, oh, that's right. That was crazy. Or all the, like, discarded half-full bottles of hand sanitizer and stuff, and I'm just like, that's right. Like, man. I guess we hang on to it, you know, I don't, but it's just so weird, because I feel like we've been hearing that a decent amount since the pandemic, though. Like, a lot of people kind of took the leap of faith into you know, careers that they want to do instead of have to do.
Well, it's so interesting, because I feel like every photographer I talk to has the same story of, oh, I've just always loved, you know, using my parents' camera or taking photos my whole life. And I mean, I certainly was always that friend taking photos on my phone, but it was never of anything. It was just like, you know, action shots of, we're at a restaurant, oh, we're at the coffee shop. You know, like, I was never like artistic, and I still don't consider myself artistic at all. Like, I don't have an art brain.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you do. Look at those photos.
It's not in a self-deprecating way. It's like, I think that's why I lean so documentary style with how I shoot. I can't envision something in my head and bring it to life.
I see.
And only photograph what's right in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I was never that person growing up or at any time. Like, I was so not into photography that when I got married 8 years ago, I didn't pay anything for my photographer. I didn't understand anything about the industry or I didn't care what my wedding photos looked like, you know?
Yeah.
And so it all definitely happened on accident. It happened later in life. I'm 28 now. So, yeah.
Interesting. I've never thought of it that way, because a lot of, you know, people that do spend the money for a good wedding photographer and stuff, they're clearly into the art.
Yeah.
They have to be, or at least, you know, want good looking photos and stuff like that. Because I, you know, before I fell back into it, I wouldn't have thought twice about something like that, a good photo, you know, it would have just been.
It makes it really hard when you're the bride.
Yeah.
Oh, and I could
like
only imagine.
I searched and searched and searched for a photographer, and I was finding, like, I wanted a film. So it's funny, I wanted a film photographer, because that's like, you know, I'm like, that's my brand, you know? And then everything that I saw was all, which I kind of wanted to talk to you about this and your work. It was all like the Contact 645, the, you know, the light and airy, beautiful, blah. And I was just like, this is just boring. Like, it's not, like, no disrespect. I'm not saying that, but you know what I mean? Like,
I love that you say that, because there's actually a story that I thought might become relevant, and now it's relevant.
Yeah.
I remember when I was getting started in 2020, and my start was with very cinematic, editorial, like, portraits of people. I was like, oh, do I want to work in the magazine world? You know, like, that was like what I was, the little trail I was following. And there's this incredible photographer in Birmingham who I don't want to name her since what I'm about to tell you could come off as potentially rude.
Yeah, yeah.
But friend, and she's amazing. And her work is still to this day. She's not even a career photographer, and it's some of the craziest work I've ever seen. It belongs in magazines, you know? And I remember that I asked her to hang out one day when I was first getting started, and I asked her, you know, oh, I'd like to take some photos of you. And like, you know, I was really intimidated to even be hanging out with her because I just thought her work was so incredible. And we started talking about, you know, what makes a good photographer and like all those different things. And she said to me point blank, and I remember being offended at the time. And now I'm like, no, this is what fuels me now. She said, it's just that I find every photo I see online so boring.
Yeah.
And at the time, I felt a little offended because I was like, wait, does that mean that when you see all the stuff I'm showcasing?
Yeah.
But in hindsight, it's what pushed me to be better because now I feel the same way. I'm so bored by everything I see online.
Yeah.
And that's what fuels me to not take a better photo, but try to see something a little more interesting, you know? Not that my work is interesting. I'm not saying that, but I am very bored by most photography. And now I understand exactly what she was saying.
Yeah.
So I know what you mean when, you know, there are a lot of even wedding photographers who offer film who their film is still the same, you know, Fuji light and airy look that goes along with their digital work.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's just not for everybody, you know?
And I, like I said, it's hard to not for you to like fall into that. Well, that's what everybody else is doing. That's what I got to do, you know? Cause I bought the 645 contacts and was like, I'm going to shoot weddings like this. And you know, I ended up going another completely different way with my photography. Now I'm on sets and stuff like that, but it's hard not to just be like, this is what it's supposed to be, you know? Not, and again, like no disrespect, all those people that are making that work, it's incredibly beautiful. Don't get me wrong, you know what I mean? And it works for them. But I ended up actually hiring a digital photographer because I just loved her style and her work. It was like, I kept like going back around and I was like, this has to be her. It's just, I like her work and I shoot digital for my work too sometimes. So like, I can't, you know.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic happened, speaking of the pandemic, and we had to pivot the whole thing. But anyway.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, so I mean, you were speaking of, I guess I wanted to say like, since you didn't fall into that trap, sounds like it was a conscious effort to go more documentary, more.
I think when I started like studying photography, because that's what I spent that entire summer doing, you know, I exposed myself to a lot of different types of work and a lot of different ways of doing things. And also like the business side of things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really a conscious decision of, I'm going to shoot this way. It was more just like, well, I hate that. I hate that. And it was also sort of probably the like lifelong rebel in me, hence quitting every 20 jobs I've ever had. That was like, well, if I'm going to be freelance, I'm just going to do what I want.
Right.
What's the point of working for yourself if, you know, you don't get to do what you want? So for me, it wasn't really like a conscious choice, really. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going after this look or this style. It was just like, I know what I don't want to shoot or how I don't want to shoot. And that's not to say that it unfolded perfectly. I mean, you know, even after, you know, I learned a lot in 2020 about curation, about what kind of people I did want to be photographing, what kind of things I wanted to be photographing, work that, you know, there's work that I'm still proud of from 2020, 2021. They're great photos, but they'll never be on my website again because it was me learning and doing trial and error with what type of work do I actually want to be shooting? You know, it was never on purpose. It became on purpose about 2 years in, but the first year and a half, 2 years, it was like, oh, I'm making money, like not a lot, but I'm making a little bit of money. This is kind of cool. It's fun. And then I realized, oh shit, I think I could make this bigger for me. You know?
So what was the steps into being where you are today? Was it like you started off second shooting? You kind of just
I've
did a friend's wedding?
Shot.
Oh, never bless your heart. Bless your heart.
Yeah, what?
I probably never will unless one of my friends was like in a bind or something.
Yeah.
I don't think I would enjoy second shooting because I'm too much of a control freak. Mm. You know, like I want to be the one making the decisions. So I purchased an online course at the end of 2021. Pretty much that course just like turned on the business side of my brain.
Okay.
And it turns out that I didn't know this until then, but I have a business brain. I think a lot of really talented photographers and creatives in general, you know, you always hear the same thing. I'm an artist. I'm passionate about the art, but mm-hmm. I hate the business side. I hate the advertising side. You have people who produce really amazing work, but they don't get booked because they're not good at the business mm-hmm. side or they don't enjoy it. And then you have people who create not the best work, but they're really good at the business side mm-hmm. and they're busy. I found out in 2022 through implementing everything I learned that I'm not only pretty good at the business side of things, but I really enjoy it just as equally as I do shooting.
Oh, cool.
And it's really interesting because I'm a high school dropout. I never got my GED. I never went to college. I literally have no schooling. So it's a big surprise to me that, especially after experiencing so many jobs that I hated mm-hmm. of all different types of genres, I guess, that what my brain is good at is business. Like it doesn't make sense. But I just really enjoy the business side of things. So I think it's sort of elevated and like served as sort of a secret weapon as I decided I wanted to like make this like a real full-time thing mm-hmm. because I have no problem tackling both sides of it, you know, which I feel really lucky to feel that way because I see my friends who are so incredibly talented, but they struggle so hard with the business side. Like their brain doesn't enjoy it. They can't make it work, you know? And I think that's totally valid. It makes total sense that someone who is so, you know, artistic and passionate wouldn't care about that. But again, I don't see myself as artistic. I see myself as someone who sees photos, you know?
Interesting. Yeah.
Mm. I'm not creative. I'm really not. So, yeah. Wow.
I just wasn't expecting that. That's cool. And it's weird because like some people, I don't know what it is about the business side of things, but I feel like some people kind of play pretend on that as well, where they're like, it's so gross. Like the business aspect of art is kind of yucky mm-hmm. or something like mm-hmm. that. But I mean, if you want to make it as a photographer,
there's no other choice.
Yeah, right. you have to learn how to.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's like what I feel like that's what's gotten me this far is that it's like, okay, do it or don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine it would be harder for me if I truly hated the business side, of course. Yeah. But I think people who are super passionate about making this into a business are doing themselves a disservice to not push themselves a little harder for what they can do on the back end of things to make it into a business.
Right.
Mm. And that's without me outsourcing anything. Like I feel like a lot of times these like what is it called like life coaches and business they're like, all right, you hire someone to do this and do this mm-hmm, and do this. I've done everything myself, every single thing I've done myself. I've never outsourced, I've never hired someone. Like it is completely doable to do these things yourself. It's just that everyone has to go at their own pace,
right?
You know, someone with kids is not gonna you know accomplish as much as fast as someone like me who literally has nothing else to do.
Damn. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I was just sitting here thinking like I'm one of those people that like the business side. I like the networking. I like the, you know, coffee meetups. I like the, you know, all like the social media part of it. Like that part of the wedding business was also fun for me. But I know other people where it's so much fun for me that even people like I have musician friends that I'd be like, let me promote your album. Let me promote your website.
All the time. I'm like, wrote for you.
Yeah, I was like, it's fun. Like, I want to do that for you.
Hey, you guys know Molly Fletcher that you had on your podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Love Molly.
So we're friends now because after the podcast, I listened to her maybe like, I don't know, a few months ago, but I reached out to her and I was like, I want to be friends. And
yeah, love it.
And we were texting last night and she had made a post on Threads, you know, the new Threads thing.
Oh, yeah.
She was advertising one of her services that I had no idea that she did. And I ended up hiring her for it. And we were texting and I was like, hey, several of my friends want to hire you for the same thing. This is awesome. Because I immediately told my friends about her.
Yeah.
And I was like, look what just happened from you just like making that one little post. When I've never we talk about it before.
Yep.
Now you have me who just like already hired you and you have five of my friends in your inbox. And she sent me this long thing back. And she was like, oh my God, you have no idea how much this means to me, because like I almost didn't even post it because I was psyching myself up over
right,
it.
Right.
Like, you know, self-promotion is really hard for me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but look what happened from just saying one thing.
Yeah.
Just making the decision to say, fuck it, post.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Of course, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it'll happen slower. You know, you might not get bites right away.
Right.
But it's a matter of resiliency and continuing to just put yourself out there, even when you don't want to.
Yeah, totally.
Because I'm very introverted. People are very surprised to learn that, because I definitely sort of have to, I don't want to say upkeep a persona on my business.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. Like,
and the truth is, you know, like, I mean, I have people who are like, I want to hang out with you. And I'm like, you don't understand. I don't hang out with people.
Yeah.
I don't hang out with people. I just want to be at home.
Yeah.
So people are sort of surprised to learn that. But I say that to say, it doesn't matter if you're introverted, you can still put yourself out there without violating your own boundaries, you know?
Right.
So true. And so true. Like I work in customer service. I've done it for like 20 years, you know what I mean? And it's funny. I used to always call it, you know, my performance, or I'm acting through my shift, because boy, am I outgoing at work. Like I can really, I am your best friend. I am the best listener. I am just golden when it comes to that.
I don't think I'm any of those things, but I do have to like be sort of a different person when I'm shooting or talking to potential clients, or, you know, I have to act interested. And I am interested, but, you know, it takes 3 to 5 business days for me to text my friends back.
Right, right.
The other stuff takes all my energy.
Totally get that. Yeah.
Wow. So what made you make the first leap into like, I'm going to book a wedding without ever second? I mean, I
didn't. It happened on accident.
Okay.
In early 2021, actually the same person I was referencing earlier, who now I understand what she means when she says she finds most work boring. I don't know the reason, but she had to back out of this wedding that she was going to shoot. And I guess she referred them to me. I don't know why still, because I'd never shot a wedding. But they contacted me and they were like, hey, so-and-so referred us, and like, we'd really like for you to shoot our wedding, so that she can't anymore. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
And I just did it. To be fair, there was no ceremony. It was one of those, you know, oh, we were supposed to get married in 2020. Uh-huh. And the pandemic hit, so instead you're just having a celebration a year later. To be fair, that's what it was, so it's not like I jumped full force into shooting. Like,
no, but that's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah, but it was really good. I had no idea how I would like it, or and I actually, you know, I was so spooked and nervous and all these things that I forced my husband to come with me, and actually the bride had requested film, and I was like, I don't shoot film. I don't know how to shoot film, but my husband knows how to shoot film. He just shoots like usually on like a point and shoot, but I was like, would you be okay if he came and like just used his point and shoot, which at the time was an Olympus stylus.
Mm-hmm.
And then
great camera.
He was like, oh yeah. And she provided the film. And so I dragged Jordan with me, and he shot just a shit ton of candid reception shots while I, you know, shot on digital. And it's funny, to this day, I have the photos, the like key photos he took. They're still on my website.
Nice.
And he saw them like a year ago, and he was like, you have my photos on your website. And I was like, you were working for me. But he shoots for fun, but he's super, super casual shooter, you know?
Nice.
I talk his ear off about this stuff every night, and he always sends me that meme that's like when your girl won't shut up at night, and it's like that meme where it's just like, you know, she's making that weird sound. He said that to me like every day trying to talk to him about photography. I was very intrigued about, oh my God, I want to talk on this podcast because it would give me an opportunity to get this out of my system when nobody else wants to hear it.
Yeah, that's basically why we started it. We get that for sure. I mean, my husband nods in his head and he's like, okay, like, sure. And
I'm like, how can you not care more? This is so fascinating.
So what do you mean you don't understand why I need this camera? Like,
yeah.
Haven't you been listening?
Yeah. Conversations we've had when I come home with cameras.
Yeah.
It's always just me coming home like a puppy.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Man.
Okay. So that's a good segue into, so what was it? So your husband had the point and shoot, right? And then, so where did you cross into, I know the Polaroid, but like, where did it all consuming? Where did that part happen?
In hindsight now, I think that discovering film, and of course, when I say discover, I've always known what film is, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had friends for years try to convince me to shoot film, and I'm like, why would I ever do that?
Yeah. Like,
and the only way, like in hindsight, I look at it and I'm like, it's very clear that for whatever reason, the night I brought home the Polaroid and took that first photo, it sort of latched onto me like the biggest special interest I've ever had.
Mm.
And I spent the following 3 weeks, every single night, watching every single Polaroid, like specifically Polaroid documentary I could find on YouTube, learning about the history of Polaroid, the man who made it, all these different, just every video on YouTube that's about the history of Polaroid, I watched that in the span of 3 weeks. Around the 3 week mark, I ordered an SX70 because I was like, well, damn, I want the real thing.
Right.
And the following week, I shot a roll of 35 millimeter color film because I had cameras. I just never touched them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the following week, I developed the color film in my bathroom, and I spent a few weeks developing my film in my bathroom, and I pretty much was sold on all the photos I was getting back. In hindsight, I mean, God, they were flawed. You know, I was left. They were not great. I mean, they're. But I said to myself, I love everything about this.
Yeah.
I'm heavily burnt out on digital and just the way that I had been doing things and my editing process that was involved with my digital work and how much effort it took to make them look how I wanted them to look. And I said, fuck it. I'm just going to tell every client for the rest of the year that their session is going to be on film. And so every client I had from the summer to December was full film. And everyone knew the disclaimer that I was just jumping into it full force. But everyone also knew, you know, I explained, you don't understand how much I'm studying this, how much time I'm spending at home to make sure I get this right for you. And everyone sort of, they trust-fold. They let me do it. And I wanted to challenge myself because I knew that the only way I would get good at film fast is if I had no digital to fall back on. And if the faster I'm shooting, the faster I see mistakes. And with film, you don't make the same mistake twice, you know?
Right.
And of course, for the weddings I was shooting last year, I was still shooting digital. That's not the same scenario as all my sessions, but my sessions were 100% film. And I had the loved and cherished X100V camera, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That thing was my baby. I got it sometime during the pandemic, and I loved that thing. And as soon as I started, and I used to take it everywhere with me. Even the dentist in Alabama used to make fun of me because he would, why do you always have that camera on you? And ever since
I know, seriously.
Ever since I started shooting film, I would try to pick up the V, and I just, I didn't like the photos on it. And it's a great camera, don't get me wrong. I personally just, for the most part, just don't like shooting digital. I don't like looking at digital photos.
Isn't that so funny?
And so I painfully sold that because it was gathering dust. I finally sold it like maybe about 3 or 4 months ago because I was like, this is such a sought after camera. I want it to go to someone who's going to use it because it's such an amazing camera. And I felt sick to my stomach the day I sold it because, it's so cherished. But it was the right decision because I literally just, in my personal life, I just am not going to pick up a digital camera. It just doesn't hit the same.
Right. That's it's so true because I call it my work camera because I only bring it to work.
Yeah.
I don't ever take it out for personal stuff ever. Traveling with the kiddo.
Yeah.
Just shooting for myself, like
it's not the same.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I shot a wedding about a year ago and I was like, I made a whole YouTube video. I'm going to shoot all these. I bought like a million rolls of film. I'm going to shoot a million rolls of film. I think I shot like four rolls of film.
I know this story because I remember you saying this on another podcast.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And I was like, at the end, I was like, I want to know how they like, I need to like assist for somebody who just give them roles and like help them roll, like just so I can be like, how do you do it?
I remember specifically listening to you say that when I was driving to Alabama. I was on a really long work trip and I remember smiling to myself and thinking, damn, if only I could talk to her.
I know. So go, give it to me. Give it to me, please. I'm ready.
Four.
So I guess for somebody who I learned on film, transitioned to digital when that was like what was happening in the world, or the, you know, and then I fell back into film, but I never, like, I've only shot weddings with digital, with like sprinkling in film here and there. And this past one, I wanted to like shoot more film than digital. I still fell back on the digital because I
think it comes down to like, I mean, first of all, context, like, you know, what I offer people, like in my branding and stuff like that, people know exactly what they're getting when they hire me for a wedding. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I don't know what your website or things like that look like. I haven't gone to it, but, you know, perhaps if you don't have a client that you've explicitly sat down and talked with, I want to make film a big part of this. And like, you both are on the same page about, you know, possible things that could go wrong, things like that. It would be way more nerve-wracking to show up to a wedding where you haven't had that conversation with them or that relationship. And then it might be nerve-wracking to be like, should I really be picking up the film camera? Yeah. You know, like, I can totally see how that would be nerve-wracking. And it's definitely been an adjustment for me too, just trusting myself little by little, the more weddings that go on, like even between like the wedding I shot this past weekend versus the wedding I shot this past January, I was confident in January and I did shoot a lot of film at the weddings that I had. But I remember specific instances where my intuition said, pick up this camera. Cause you know, I have like six cameras on me on a wedding.
Yeah, that's the other question. How many cameras?
My intuition is like, pick up this camera. But there's still ways that I did not trust myself, you know, until I got to a certain point where then you get home and you look at the digital images and you're like, damn, why did I not do that on film instead?
Right.
And whereas my weddings now, it's just a full intuitive, like I know what camera I should use for what shot and I trust myself completely to if I pick up this camera to take this certain shot, I trust myself that the shot's going to come out. But B, I've already had so many conversations with the client. I've never had anything go wrong with my film. I've never lost a shot. I've never lost, you know, anything like that. But we've talked prior about, hey, sometimes I might be in this situation where I don't have time to do digital and film for a certain scene. But the scene might call for film over digital based off of what I think the light's doing and things like that. You know, how do you feel about that? Do you want me to trust my intuition or do you want the safety net of digital?
Interesting.
All of my clients choose film every time.
Wow.
So that sort of just gives me permission, you know, to pick up the film camera instead of the digital camera.
So do you still bring the digital or no?
Yes. I've had two full film weddings this year, which was specifically requested. But my standard weddings, like what everyone else books, is pretty much about, am I doing the math right? I'm bad at math. I think it's 60% digital, 40% film.
Okay.
At a regular wedding that someone will book me for, if it's like 6 to 8 hours, I'll shoot anywhere from 10 to 15 rolls. It just depends on that's what's included in hiring me.
Okay.
Because I always want to shoot as much film as I can.
Yeah.
I've found that for a lot of couples who want full film, they opt to just do my standard offering because even if they want full film, their parents that are helping them pay who grew up with film and don't see it as reliable anymore, they'll say, well, we're not going to pay for the wedding if she doesn't also do digital.
What?
Wow.
So I have a lot of clients who want to take the plunge for full film, but they feel like they can't. But I honestly, you know, as much as I love doing full film weddings and I have two of them next year, I don't feel, you know, there is a time and place for digital, you know,
if
I'm going to have all of it, then it's not like I'm like, oh, fuck this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't post or love or showcase, you know, my digital images anymore unless one is really stand out, you know, but I think that if you have an explicit conversation with the person you're shooting for, you know, weeks beforehand, it can give you the push you need that they trust you, so you should trust you. you know.
My other question is, do you have somebody assisting you to help you with the film?
I do now, but not in the way I hear other people describe. Like, a lot of my friends say that they have people, like, assisting with, you know, loading roles and changing roles. I can't, personally, I'm like, I don't see how that would be efficient if everything's already on me and, like,
sure.
So are they going to come up to my body and, like, you know, like, I just... What my assistants do is they're my shadow and they follow everywhere I go carrying my bags for me and like my water.
Yeah.
There might be something I can't carry in my fanny pack that I have and I'm like, oh, need a new battery. Oh,
right. Okay.
So they're not like changing rules for me and stuff, but they are pretty much my shadow to like give me an extra set of hands.
That's helpful though. I feel like even if I had that at my wedding, it would be helpful because one of the reasons why I kept going toward the digital is because I didn't have to like worry about the roles up. Like, you know, I would change the role when I could. So I wasn't it wasn't like my focus because of that, because I didn't want to miss anything really, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely stressful, but it's worth it to me, you know?
Totally.
I haven't had it backfire yet. But I also think that's because I went so hard in the beginning. I was like, oh, I'm not going to be a photographer that offers a film add-on. I'm going to switch to film.
Yeah.
And I should also
bet people will let me, you know?
Yeah. I should also say I was pretty proud that I actually shot 4 roles.
No, that's so awesome. That's more than a lot of
no, when I look back, I'm like, oh, there is a lot of on film,
that's,
you know?
That's what, like, say, like 150 shots and something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you shooting a lot of medium format or is it 35? What's your dominant like film camera?
I just started shooting medium format at the end of this.
Oh, okay.
I got a Rolly cord, which is fucking obsessed with it. We're going out of town for Thanksgiving and I'm challenging myself to only bring the Rolly because like usually when we go out of town, I bring like at least 4 different film cameras.
I know all about that.
We never heard of that before.
I actually just got into medium format and I also got a Pentax something. I don't remember which one it is.
6 or 5?
Probably. It sounds familiar. I shot a few rolls through it and there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't, it doesn't hit me the same that my Rolly does.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved the Rolly so much that I got a tattoo of it.
Yeah.
After I got it. But
so cool.
Yeah, my work cameras, my workhorse camera for my sessions and weddings is the Canon 1V. It was the first film camera I got last year. Once I got the SX70, I was like, all right, time to graduate from this AE1. Like, I want something that will work with all my Canon lenses.
Yep.
Give me more flexibility for shooting fast.
Yeah. Mm.
So the Canon 1V is my workhorse camera. All my sessions are photographed on it. I bring the Rolly with me to every wedding now. I have my Olympus stylus, mine, not Jordan's.
I was like, is you're stealing your hubby's or what?
No, I forget which kind his is, but mine is the like the little tiny stylus.
Yeah.
I don't remember what model. It's the one that always has the beautiful ring around the photos. I'm obsessed with it. But and then I always have my Polaroid 600 with me and my Polaroid SX70, but it's hit or miss if I'm able to use the SX70. It just depends on so many factors.
Yeah. Right.
And I have the sonar as well, but I've gone through 3 sonars and all 3 of them have had unfortunate problems that I'm like, well, shit, I just might as well shoot with the manual focus
SX70.
And then I always have a backup film camera in my bag. And what am I missing? I think that's all I bring with me on wedding days and like sessions for film cameras. Yeah.
What's your digital?
For digital, I have Canon R5 and a Canon R6 and a Fujifilm X-H2. Yeah.
Yeah. So the lenses with the adapter.
Yes. Yeah. And I bought the Fujifilm because I missed my V so much. And I thought, oh, maybe I did make a mistake. And I was like, well, if I'm going to go back to Fuji and X100Vs, the market value for resale now, you know, they're $2,000. I was like, I might as well buy a brand new Fujifilm. That's why I got the X-H2. And turns out I don't touch it either. And it's an amazing camera. But I'm not going to sell it because you know what? I know that one day I might not be able to afford as much film. And then I'm going to reach for that. And so I keep
That's smart. That's smart.
I'm not going to sell it.
Wow.
Do you ever get into any of like the flash bars with the SX70? Because I've been looking into getting one recently.
I have a story about that. Yes, I do. And I got like really badly shocked by it. I'm not going to say because I don't want to get sued. But it happened at a session like with client. It not only shocked me really badly, but it ruined my...
Oh, no.
It ruined the one I had that day because it like it did something. It was sonar, so I think it did something with like the focus and like the it won't do anything anymore. So I bought a new flash from the same company because I was like, maybe I just got, you know, a dud or something.
Wonky.
So far so good, but I also don't reach for it that often because I'm honestly a little traumatized by the shock.
I would be too.
I've been reaching for my 600 way more because it's never shocked me. SX70 definitely shines in, you know, direct beautiful sunlight. So I try to bring it out when I don't necessarily feel like I would need a flash, you know, but I do have the flash with me. It's just I literally feel scared every time I hook it up.
Trauma.
But flash help, you know, the shots I've gotten with the flash, I mean, god, it's fucking amazing. It makes you perfect, you know, when you're lacking the light. So,
wow.
I've just been looking at them and it comes back around. You know, it's one of those things that's always in my cart. And I'm like, do I pull the trigger this time? Because it's
true.
I
don't get it.
Yeah, it really does.
It helps so much.
You're talking about like the rechargeable kind? Like the
Mine takes a little, I think it's AAA batteries. Yeah. I think is what it is. So yeah.
They look cool. They look like they're worth it.
Yeah. They also fall off really easily though, which is kind of annoying, but
yeah, that little, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I will get one then. Why not?
You deserve it.
Thank you. We'll be right back with listener question for Allie right after this message from our sponsor.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We develop some film. We talk shop. We also try to get a former guest for these things. They're a ton of fun. We have a blast. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Patreon is the best way to support the show. Thanks, guys. All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Taylor Flanagan, film_noob. They wanted to know, have you ever had a role get ruined after shooting a wedding? How did you handle it? It's a good one.
Good question.
It's a good question. It's a valid question. I personally have not had that happen. And I definitely credit that to how vigorously hard I worked the first 6 months from the moment I jumped into film and realizing I wanted to make it a full part of my work. Mm. I shot through so much film on so many different cameras, you know, down to developing at home, even when it was a huge pain in my ass. I watched so many hours of YouTube videos and like fucking courses on all these random websites. Like, I wanted to have the peace of mind that when I go into this relying either fully on film for certain gigs or heavily on film, I wanted to have the peace of mind that if something happened, it's truly just going to be a freak accident versus user error. Because the thing about losing roles is that 99% of the time it is user error. Even if, it, you know, when I have lost roles, but not at weddings. And the roles that I lost were very early in my like film journey, like, learning things with different cameras and, oh, this one loads differently than this one and things like that. And I have a story as well with that, that when I shot the full film wedding a few months ago, and you can find this post pinned on my Instagram as well, because I put the story on there with the photos.
Oh, cool.
But it was a full film wedding. And they were very specific that they did not want any digital photos. And so at some point during the reception that night, this random ass severe thunderstorm hit literally out of nowhere. The next day, there were so many downed trees all through town. Like, it was straight. And the door to the reception kept flying open. And so I guess my clients, they said, fuck it. And they ran outside in the rain. And I was like, oh, shit, well, I'm going to follow them. And because it all happened so fast, I didn't have all of my cameras on me. You know, I had set my cameras down. They were on my bag and the cushions on the other side of the room. I only had my little Olympus point and shoot around my neck. So I instinctively ran after them because I was like, this is happening right now.
Got to get this.
I took 3 photos of them just doing their thing in the rain. And when I went to take the 4th photo, I realized, oh my God, my roll's empty. And I was like, shit, I don't have time to run inside, get another camera rolls. And so I was like, all right, guys, like, you know, I got it. And they stayed outside and stuff. And I got that film back, 3 best photos of the entire night.
Wow.
And it fully, you know, they were outside dancing in the rain for probably 15 minutes. Those 3 photos perfectly encompass everything that happened in that 15 minutes, even though those photos were taken in the span of 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow. You
know, I think there's this fear, especially, you know, what if I do lose a role at a wedding? Yeah. What if I do get frames come back so wonky that they can't be saved? Yeah. And my answer now is, who cares? Because You go try to do history on, I look up the history of great, well-known wedding photographers. You only find modern people for the most part, people who are still actively doing it. I tried so hard over the past few months, like digging deeper into the history of wedding photography.
Interesting. Yeah.
You can't hardly find anybody.
Mm.
And I say that to say that I think, you know, when I first started doing this, even when I was still doing it last year, there's this mindset of, I'm so proud of the fact that I'm going to get everything for my client.
Right.
And now my mindset has sort of shifted. Whatever they don't get, they're not going to miss. Like,
right.
I'm True. Going to get everything in the context in which it's happening. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Like, totally.
I might not have gotten that moment in the rain when Ryan kissed Kyla on her forehead, but does the three photos I still got completely encompass that experience for them? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, man. It fully tells the story of that entire 20 or 15.
And they probably didn't even realize you had followed them, you know?
No, like that was completely candid in the moment. They didn't need to come outside. I just instinctively knew to follow. I didn't think about how much film I had left or, oh, should I only have my point and shoot on me?
Right.
And if I would have overthought it, I would have probably missed some of the key moments.
Yeah.
If I would have said, oh, wait, let me at least go grab my SLR or let me at least go grab this, the photos probably wouldn't have come out the same. So all that to say, no, I haven't lost a role, but if I lost something, if I missed something, I'm not pressed about it because the type of clients that I work with, they trust me to I'm not getting everything and they love that.
But at the same time,
I am getting everything. Does that make sense?
Totally.
There's no key moments they're asking for. They're not going to miss every single micro conversation they have with somebody if it's not in the wedding gallery.
Right.
You know, which is definitely a complete flip from how I approached things. Even at this time last year, I was still of the mindset of got to get everything though. And now I'm like, I have to get everything.
Right.
You know?
Mm. That's a good mindset for all wedding photographers, I feel like, to you'll get what's important. You know, you don't need to like write it all down and check it all off. And
and I trust my cameras too. Like obviously freak things can happen. They've happened to me outside of weddings, but most of the time it really is user error. And the thing about film is that once you make a mistake one time, you're probably not going to make it again because it's so expensive. It's so devastating to lose a shot.
Yep.
You know, so.
Always
that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Plus, if you're shooting, enough, like if you didn't get it on the Hasselblad, you have it on your 35. Like you're not, that's how we shoot. We don't care
that those shots were on the point and shoot. And guess what? I still printed them and they printed beautifully. They're here on my desk.
Let me see.
Aww.
This is the photo I got. And it's, you know, it's a little out of focus. But in the real shot, you can see the rain pouring down, but it's Kyla just laughing.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
In the middle of the street, she's laughing at Ryan because he was like across the street, like making her laugh. But in the real life, you know, you can see the rain pouring down and you can see he's in that moment. And I would have missed that if I thought, well, because of this light, my point and shoot might not catch this moment. You know, I just thought and didn't think about it.
Yep.
Wow.
And I think that mindset can pay off when you have that open communication with your clients in the weeks prior about expectations. Because, of course, there's going to be clients out there who would be like, what the fuck? Give me my money back.
Yeah.
I work with those types of people.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great. That's good advice.
Yeah, totally.
Great question.
Totally.
Great answer. Thank you, Taylor. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Don't be scared. Really, don't be scared.
Don't be scared.
If you know your shit, you have nothing to be scared of.
Totally.
Amen.
All right. So the two-part camera question that we end every show with.
Yeah.
Part one is the desert island camera. What is, you know, what's the one camera you cannot live without? What's it going to be and why?
It's definitely the Rollercord now. Ah. And I definitely don't think it's like because of the square format, for example, or like because it's this or that, because it doesn't have a light meter, at least the one that I have. It's from the Freeze. But I recently bought I don't know how to say it. I'm bad at pronouncing things, a Yashica, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's how I say it.
Nailed it.
Very similar, but it's a little bit, you know, came a little bit later. It has a light meter. I bought it because it has a light meter. And I was like, well, this is more efficient for wedding days instead of having a meter on my phone. The shots I've gotten back from it are fine, but they're not the same as the Rolly. I don't know if it's
interesting.
The Rolly is how different the lens might be. And I also know that the Yashica is supposedly on paper, you know, better than the Rolly Cord. Because, you know, the Rolly Cord is the cheaper alternative to the Rolly Flex.
Still great cameras.
Yeah, there's just something about the photos I get back from my Rolly and also just everything about the way it shoots, the actual experience I have while I'm shooting that specific camera. I just love it. And that's why I'm challenging myself when we go out of town in a few days to visit my grandparents. I was like, you know what? I always bring 4 or 5 film cameras. I always want, like, I gotta have 35, gotta have Polaroid, gotta have point and shoot for flash. You know, I'm like, what would this trip look like if I bring only my Rolly and only medium format.
It's good. It's going to feel great just to you're not going to be, yeah, you're not going to be held back. You're just going to like.
Yeah. So we'll see, but I'm hopeful.
That's awesome.
All right. Part two is the white whale camera. Is there anything, you know, you're hitting eBay up, you're looking on Craigslist. Is Craigslist even around anymore?
It is. Right. Yeah.
Facebook Marketplace, all those. What are you lusting after at the moment? Offer
up. So I feel like I have every camera I want because I went so hard in the last year, not just cycling through finding, oh, which ones do I actually like? Okay, I'm going to sell this one, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I have so many of the ones I want now that my answer is definitely peel apart film. I know that and it expired and you can find a way to shoot it. I know that, but I'm salty that I never got the chance to shoot it.
Yeah. $9 a box.
Wasn't expired. I love the show Mad Men, and it's funny. I started watching Mad Men the same time that I started shooting film last year. And there's a few different scenes in the show where they're shooting on, you know, one of the original Polaroids and it's pull apart film. And every time I freak out, I'm like, Jordan, look at that. They're just pulling apart the film. And like, I know that I could experience that. I have friends who've found a way to shoot it. I've looked at the prices of pull apart film. And I'm like, I just don't know if it's going to come out, you know, super expired and unpredictable. Perhaps black and white could be cooler than, I'm a color person personally. I don't shoot a whole lot of black and white, but I'm like envious of the time when it existed. And I wish that I could go back to when it was a thing and actually shoot it as it was intended to be used. But it truly, as someone who spends way too much money on film and cameras and the gear and stuff, it's expensive to get a roll of the expired stuff. It's like, I just don't know, you know?
No.
I feel like it's, I'm telling you, it is one of the best experiences of my life shooting that film.
I believe I you.
If you can find something that's reliable and even one of like the, you know, you can find like a peel apart camera, like a 100 or 400 at any thrift shop for like 20, 25 bucks. Oh, well, there you go.
So, you know, spend, I have that part covered. But
next time you see Brooklyn Film Camera, you know, put some boxes on.
Yeah, I'm always
on.
So tempted when they do that drop. And I'm just like,
it's,
I don't know.
It's worth it. It's worth the $100 to just experience it one time. It's worth it. I mean, it literally, I have binders of that. Because I mean, like Chris just said, when it was like $7 and $10, the color film was $7, the black and white was $10. I would just use, I mean, that's what I was walking around shooting for a while. Yeah. And I just fell so in love with it. It's worth it. It's worth $100.
I'm sure I'll do it eventually. Yes. Yes. And that's the other thing too. Everyone talks about how expensive film is, and I believe you, and I too think it's expensive, but since I only started shooting it last year, I'm lucky. Yeah. I'm not like, oh, but it used to be cheaper 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it cost 3 years ago. Portra 400 is $79.99 for five. Yeah. I'm like, well, it is what it is.
It is. And that's another thing we say on the show all the time. Chris always is like, if it's like putting gas in your car, like it's something that is inevitable. Like you need,
it's just
I
a part
it.
Of my life now. Even if another client never hired me again, I'm never shooting anything but film in my personal life unless some reason it literally goes away, you know? So it's just part of my budget.
Mm-hmm.
I love that answer though. We've never had anybody say like, well, I want to go back in time for this answer.
Yeah.
Well, it's legendary. Of even people that you interview that they're like, my grandfather gave me my camera when I was 5 years old and I've known film ever since. And I'm like, I didn't experience that. I like
that's great though. Like,
and I wish that I could have, you know, I don't know. I
I feel like I wanted to say this in the beginning, like I feel like photography is meant to find you regardless of whatever way it came to you. I feel like that about me too. It's like I say, you know, it's still the one constant in my life. It's always been what I love and my passion. So to talk to you and hear how fired up you are about it is like super inspiring. Oh,
I'm
just in general
right now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like we said before, like the reason why we love doing the show is to talk to people who also love it as much as us. So this has just been great.
Thank you. My student, Kyla, that did the full film wedding, she left me a review a few weeks ago. And it's like, I want to frame it because she simply said, you can tell that film was made for Allie and he was made for it.
Yes, like, that's how I feel too.
That's how I feel about, even though it's my relationship with film is, I guess, now like a year and a half old, but it feels like I've been shooting film my whole life, and it's crazy because I haven't even been a photographer for that long, period.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, it's like, wow, I'm good at something, so I go all in. I've never been good at anything, you know, until this. And
you're gonna make us cry over here, Allie.
Yeah, it's such a great story. Shooting,
even if nobody ever hires me ever again, I didn't do it for money in the beginning. You know, I was doing it because I was like, oh my God, my pets, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Landscape, the sunset. Right.
That's wild.
Good for you for turning it into a career, and also it's that you are just inspired by the other side of it too.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
This has been an absolute pleasure. Anytime we can talk to somebody who's as passionate about this stuff as we are, it's like it's a reminder why we do the show.
Just know I'll be listening to you all day on Friday because I'm going to make Jordan listen to on the 10-hour drive.
Nice.
I still have so many of your episodes that I haven't gotten to because I saved them for long drives.
Oh, wow.
I would say I'm probably maybe about 40% through your catalog.
Damn. Like,
it's definitely
taking me some time, but it's because I'm saving it for when I go on really long drives because it's like a treat.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Yeah. So I'll be listening on Friday to whatever looks interesting when I'm scrolling.
I love it.
Who am I going to listen to next?
Well, Allie, thank you so much. So this is the part where we want you to plug yourself. Where can they find your Instagram, website? Where
favorite
can they book
part.
You?
No, I'm just, yeah. Well, my Instagram name is Richmond Photographer. Very easy to remember. And my website is AllieHansenPhoto.com. And then I shoot a shit ton of personal work. So it's Allie Bamian is my other Instagram. It's AllieBamian. Did I get that right? I don't know, but you'll find it when you search. I might have just gotten that mixed up. But
we'll link it too. Don't worry.
Yeah.
All right, Timothy, where are you?
Guys, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, at Timothy Makeups. You'll find a bunch of my stuff all over the internet. Also, I just paid for another year of Squarespace, so might as well plug that. TimothyMakeups.com. I really have plans to like renovate the whole thing. I have a whole big draft that I've spent days upon days. I just need to pull the trigger and get it up again.
Just click.
I know.
That's a whole nother rabbit hole to fall down. Is like the website rabbit hole, like rearranging and all that.
It's overwhelming.
It is. Well, that's where you can find me. Chris, where are you?
So I am Crispy Photo on all of the things as well. Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. And I think that's everything for
us. That's it.
Right? We're not on. Yeah, that's it. Allie, thank you so much. This has been seriously fantastic. Our cups of creativity are full.
Yay.
And we appreciate you. So
thank you.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye. All right. First off, Chris and I would love to thank Allie for coming on the show. Such a great conversation. Great getting to hear your story. We love what you're doing. It's so inspiring. And it's just always great having these conversations with like-minded people like we discussed in the episode. Allie, you're killing it. We love what you're doing. Thanks again for joining us. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk for only $1. You can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hang nights over there, a bunch of stuff in the archives, and like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. For all the patrons who already support the show, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. We greatly and truly appreciate each and every one of you. All right, so that's it for this episode. Only a couple episodes left until our Christmas episode or our year wrap-up episode. Such a good year, such great conversations being had. We appreciate all you guys for listening, and until next week, we will see you with an all-new episode. Take care, guys. Later.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.